Good morning, church. It's a very special day today. It is Pentecost in the Christian calendar, and we thank God, and we believe that even as God visited the apostles that first Pentecost in Acts 2, that God would visit us, that the Holy Spirit would visit us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we start, I want to draw us to a story, the story of Cornelius in Acts 10. And particularly verse 44. So Acts 10, 44, the background to this was that God had sent Peter to Cornelius and his household. And Peter had gone and Peter was sharing the word. And in Acts 10, 44, it tells us that while Peter was still saying these things, so while he was sharing the message, while he was sharing the word of God with them, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. So as we're going into God's word this morning, I want to encourage you to just take a few minutes and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that as we hear God's word today, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word, that the same way that he fell on the household of Cornelius as they heard his word way back then, that this morning, this afternoon, as we go into the afternoon, that the Holy Spirit would fill you afresh in the name of Jesus. It's Pentecost. We're celebrating Pentecost in the Christian calendar. I don't want to not have a visitation from the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, because that's what Pentecost is all about for us. So just spend a few minutes and pray for yourself and say, Father, as I hear your word this morning, as I hear your word, speak to me, and not just speak to me, but let your Holy Spirit fill me afresh in the name of Jesus. Let me have an encounter with you. Don't let me remain the same. At the end of this service, this Pentecost 2020, the same in the name of Jesus. So just pray for yourself.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. I pray for myself. I pray for my brethren, that from every single one of us, from our children to the oldest, that as we listen to your word, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us all in the name of Jesus. The same way that you filled them in Cornelius' household, every single person was filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, fill us in the name of Jesus. Let your word, as it comes to us, let it find good ground in our hearts. Give us understanding. Let your word come alive within us. Let it set something ablaze within us, a fire from you within us, so that we would take this word and we would run with it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for my brethren. I pray for myself, that this word, that it wouldn't stand against any of us in the last day, but we would have gone out and been doers of your word. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 So last week, by God's grace, we looked at the topic as in the days of Noah, and we saw how God shut them in the ark. It was Noah, his family, 8 people in total, and all the animals that were saved. And in Genesis 7:16, the latter part of it tells us that after they had all gone into the ark, God shut them in. And right now we're in a time of lockdown. We're in a time of shutting in. But we see in Genesis that when it came to Noah, God shut them in to protect them. God shut them in to preserve them. God shut them in to usher in a process of preparation for the new normal, for the new world that they were going to step out into after the flood. So like I said before, today is Pentecost, and it's a time when in Christendom we celebrate, we mark the wonderful events that happened in Acts 2, which I'm sure most of us are familiar with, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in that portion of scripture, we see another time where believers on God's instructions were shut in. If we go to Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Now this was after Jesus' resurrection, but before his ascension back to heaven. In Acts 1 4, speaking to the disciples, Jesus said, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard from me." So Jesus says to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. You must stay in Jerusalem until you get the promise of the Father. So he gives them this instruction. And in verses 12 to 14 of Acts 1, we see that they were obedient to the instructions that they were given. So Jesus is ascended off into heaven. And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, we read about their obedience. Acts 1, verses 12 to 14. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So we see in these verses that they stayed shut in, they stayed in obedience, they didn't leave Jerusalem. And they were there in that upper room. The Bible tells us they were in one accord, in the place of prayer and unity. But then it makes us ask the question, why did they have to wait for the Holy Spirit? Why did they need to be shut in for that period while they were waiting for the promise of from God? And Acts 1:8, again, a verse that we're very familiar with, tells us why. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so we see that for them in these early verses, in these early chapters in the book of Acts, that them being shut in was a time of preparation for them. After they receive the Holy Spirit in this place of being shut in, and this time of being shut in that they had, they would later step out of that upper room, not the same people. They would step out of that upper room empowered and equipped to be witnesses all over the world. So in a very similar vein, I want to start today's message, this sharing of God's word, by encouraging every single one of us that this season that we are in, don't waste it. Don't waste the season that we are currently in. God doesn't do anything by mistake. Nothing takes God by surprise. The season and the period that we're in, it has not taken God by surprise. So don't waste the season that we are in. The apostles, when they were shut in, waiting for the promise of God, waiting for the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that they were in one accord. The Bible tells us that they were praying. Don't waste the season we're currently in. The second thing is that I want to encourage us that do not take it for granted. Don't think, well, it would come, it would go. This is just life. We just roll with whatever comes our way. That would be taking it for granted. Don't take it for granted. The third thing is don't make the mistake of thinking it is not a significant season. Don't make the mistake of thinking it is not a significant season. And the final one is that above all, make sure that you align yourself with what God is doing. In this time of shut-in, in this season that we find ourselves, above all, above everything else, you want to make sure that you align yourself with what God is doing. So carrying on with the apostles' story, the day of Pentecost comes in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes, and we're told that they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here we are in our day, in our age. In a sense, you can say that we're post-Pentecost Christians. We're born again, we're baptized, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So in this post-Pentecost day, in this post-Pentecost era, what should we be doing? How should I be living my life? How should you be living your life? We saw and we see in Acts 1:8 that after the Holy Spirit came, that we received power. Power to be witnesses. So what should we be doing? How should we be living? We definitely shouldn't be sitting back doing nothing or doing the wrong things. On the contrary, how should we live? We should be stirring up the gift of God in us. We should be using the power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit to do the works of God, to do the works of God. In John chapter 9, verse 4, John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. John 9:4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, I want us to look at that verse in context. And looking at that verse in context is a story that, again, I believe is familiar to a lot of us, the story of the man born blind. So the Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples, they're passing by and they see a man blind from birth. This is in John chapter 9 from verses 1. They see this man born blind from birth, and Jesus' disciples, they look at the man, and then they look at Jesus and they ask Jesus, they say, who sinned? Is it the man or his parents that sinned for him to be born blind? And you know this story, every time that I read it, every time that I hear it, the thing that comes to my mind first is the question this the disciples asked was a strange question, because they say, is it the man or his parents? This man was born blind. Did he sin in the womb? How could it have been his fault? But that was the understanding that the disciples had, that for a person to be born blind, somebody must have done something wrong. Someone must have sinned. But then we see Jesus responding to their question, responding to their query in verses 3. And I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. John chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. It says, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, breaking down those verses, and the verses that we're focusing on is John chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. Breaking down those verses, in verse 5, we see Jesus saying, as long as he's in the world, he's in the light, he's the light of the world. And I thank God for Sunday school and the things that we discussed today. I thank God for the corporate prayer as well. So Jesus says, as long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. But then in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, he passes on that baton to you and I. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, some versions say a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what are we supposed to be doing? Those of us that live in this time in history, that live in this post-Pentecost period, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. The Bible says that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The Bible says that people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You don't do that. You put it on a stand to give light to everyone. And he says, in the same way, you and I are to go and let our light shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. So what are we to do? We're to shine. What are we to do? We're to shine so that our good deeds can be seen and God would be glorified. What are we to do? We're to work the works of him who sent us while it is day, because the night is coming when no one can work. What else do we see in those first verses of John chapter 9? We see that part of the works that Jesus had to do, part of the works that Jesus had to do was to reveal the works of God through that man's life by healing him. Another example that we see is two chapters later in John 11, when we look at the story of Lazarus and Lazarus' death. We see clearly, even before Lazarus dies, that the reason why he died was to demonstrate God's glory. So part of the works that Jesus had was to reveal the works of God through this man's life by healing him. What else do we see? We see in verse 4, which says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. We see that the time to do the works that we have to do is time bound. It's time bound. For everyone, night is coming, everyone without exception, for you, for myself, Night is coming when we can't work. So it's time bound. And why? That's why there's a sense of urgency. That's why Jesus said, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. If Jesus could say night is coming for him, believe me, let's not kid ourselves. Night is coming for each and every one of us. We must do the works of him who sent us while it is day. For every work, for every assignment, for every calling, there is night when it's too late to work. But the good news is that for every work, for every assignment, for every calling, there is day when we need to seize the time, seize the day, and do the works of him who sent us. Let's take an example and use Noah, for instance. We looked at Noah last week. Now imagine for a minute that when God called Noah to build the ark, the Bible, when you read those chapters of the Bible, when God called Noah, the Bible shows us and tells us that for every instruction Noah got, Noah obeyed God to the letter. He just obeyed and did what God said he should do. But imagine for a minute that Noah, instead of obeying God, said to God that, God, I'm not going to disobey you. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to build this ark. Right now is not particularly convenient. So I'm going to have to plan it in and schedule it in. And so I'm going to start building that ark in, let's say, 12 months' time. Now imagine if that was Noah's response. You know what would have happened? The night would have come when the flood came, and it would have been too late for him. So for each and every one of us, the different works that we've been assigned to do, the different assignments and the callings that God has for us, night might look and be different, but the one thing that we all have in common is that without a doubt, night would come. Night would come. I'll give another example, an example that's very current, very dear to my heart right now. So for some of us, for many years, we've been blessed by the life and ministry of Ravi Zacharias. He passed on to glory to be with God about 12 days ago. His memorial service was on Friday. I know some of us have watched it. Thousands upon thousands watched it and have watched it on YouTube. It was incredibly moving. The tributes that people have given about his life, incredibly, incredibly moving. Now his ministry and his life, thank God, made a massive impact in the life of so many. And I believe that by God's grace, he worked the works of him who sent him while it was day for him. But now for him, night has come. He's now passed on to be with the Lord. So all those works that God had assigned to him, he had to do them in his day. And I thank God for his life. So for every single one of us, night might look different, but let us know that night is coming. Now, my prayer, when I think about the life of Rabbi Zacharias and other heroes of faith, is that God would help you and God would help me. God would help those of us that are still on this side of eternity, that God would help us to do the works that he has called us to do while it is day, that God would help us to run the race he set before us well, that God would help us to maximize our day so that when night comes, God would look at us and say, well done. I pray that that would be our reality in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, a lot of us know that passage. We're not going to read it, but I encourage you to read it in your own time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8 tells us that there's a time for everything. And in it, the preacher gives different examples, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to hug, a time to refrain from hugging, a time for peace, a time for war. There's a time for everything, a season for everything. And the same way, when it comes to the calling of God on every life, when it comes to the assignment God has for you and I, there is a time. It's time bound. There's a season. And seasons come and seasons go. We must work the work of him who sent us while it is day. For example, as a parent, you must, by God's grace, train up your children in the way that they should go right now, whilst it is day. You can't, for instance, afford to be too busy to invest that time in training them, in helping them to develop good character and a deep love for God. You must make the time right now to talk with them and to intentionally keep the lines of communication with them alive and open. You must encourage them right now to question, to use their mind. Why? Because the night is coming when no one can work. The night is coming when their character, their beliefs, who they are would be set, and you'll have a lot less influence. So night is coming, and night takes various forms for various assignments and various works. Going back to that blind man in John chapter 9, Jesus told the disciples that the reason why that man was born blind was so that the works of God could be revealed in him. He was born blind so that the works of God could be revealed in him. However, those works of God couldn't be revealed in that man until Jesus came along and did the works of him who sent him. So here's a blind man. He's born blind. From childhood, he's blind. From when you came out of the womb, blind from day one. He's a toddler, he's blind. He's a child, he becomes a youth, he's blind. He grows up into a man, he's blind. And all that happened so that the works of God could be revealed in him. But the works of God could not be revealed in him until Jesus came along and did the works of him who sent him. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because it is so key that we let that resonate with us on the inside of us. There are folks and people all around you, all around me, that are part of the works that God has assigned to us. And we need to recognize it. Jesus looked at that man, and Jesus knew and recognized that the reason he was born blind was so that the works of God could be revealed in him. And Jesus knew that part of the works that he had been sent to do was to heal that man. So we need to recognize the works that God has sent us. We need to recognize the assignments. For some of us, it's colleagues that are around us that are desperate for God. But for one reason or the other, one excuse or the other, we're hesitant. We're stopping ourselves from sharing about God with them. But God wants to reveal his glory in their lives. But to trigger that off, you need to do the works that God has sent you. For some of us, it might be schoolmates who know nothing about Jesus. There's so many children, so many young people that know nothing about Jesus. And God is waiting for you to share about Jesus with them. You know, the Bible says that the whole of creation is waiting for the sons of God to manifest. There's so many people, so many things around us waiting for us to manifest, waiting for us to do the works of him who sent us. And there's a sense of urgency because night is coming when no one can work. The people that are around you and I that we're supposed to mentor and make a massive difference in their lives, but we need to do the works of him who sent us. There's somebody that you might owe some compassion, that you might owe them a smile, that you might owe them love, that there is something in your hand that you need to give them, something tangible that would make the world of difference and is part of the works that God has sent you to do, but you might be holding back. There's a sense of urgency because, brethren, night is coming when no man can work. For some of us, it might be that God has given you a message that you need to put in a book and put out there because that message is for some people that you would never meet face to face. But they would pick up that book, they would pick up that blog, they would hear that song, and it would trigger the revealing of God's works in them. For some of us, it might be unspoken prayers. Some of us, we don't pray for anyone. We have so many prayers that God has put on the inside of us that we're not speaking out. And it's part of what would trigger the revealing of the works of God in a situation, in a community, in a life. God is speaking to us today that we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day, because night is coming when no man can work. There's a time when that prayer that you have refused to say, it might be too late. It might be too late. I pray that God would help us. So there are good works with your name, good works with my name, all around, still lying undone. But God is saying to us today that my daughter, my son, my children, you must work the works, my works that I have sent you while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. Ephesians 2:10, and I use this passage all the time, but Ephesians 2:10 says we're God's handiwork. Some versions say we're his workmanship, we're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes we refuse to obey and yield to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we refuse to do these good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Because it's not convenient, because we don't want our lives and our plans to be interrupted too much. And so sometimes we say, God, I'm not going to disobey, but I'll do it later. However, John 9:4 comes with a warning for us today. And that warning is that night is coming when no one can work. We can't afford to say, I will do it later anymore, because there might be no later. Night is coming. In that passage in John 9, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me. And I'm placing an emphasis on what he said when he said, I must. In I must, I see there a decision that needs to be made. And that decision for each of us is a very personal, individual decision. No one can make that decision for me. No one can make that decision for you. And the decision is, am I going to say to myself and commit to God, that from today, by his grace, for me, it is a case of I must work the works. It's no longer a case of I might, or I would try to, or if it's convenient, or we'll see how it goes. But it's a case of I must, I must, I must. The power of a decision. We had a message months ago about the power of a decision. It all starts with a decision. And today, are you, am I, are we going to commit and say whatever it takes, I must. Whatever it might cost me, I must. I'm ready to truly surrender my life, my dreams, my all, because I must. Are we going to say to God, Lord, you can interrupt my life because I must work the works of him who sent me? It's very individual. It's a very personal decision. But the truth of the matter is that till you make that decision, till I make that decision, we're likely to waste our day. We're likely to waste our day. And the problem with that is that night is coming. As the day passes, night is getting closer. Night is getting closer. So important things to consider. How do I know the works? How do you know the works that God has called you to do? And these are things that we go over and over. But you know, in a passage, Paul said, for him to keep repeating the same thing to the people, that it wasn't a tedious thing, but it was safe for them. So how do you and I know the works? First of all, we know it from scripture. As we commit to studying the Bible, we see God's instructions, we see his directions all over scripture. So we need to be children, people of the word. We need to be committed to studying this word. How else do we know the works? We need to stay connected and yielded to the Holy Spirit. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost, it's all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all about fresh infillings over and over and over by the Holy Spirit in our lives. How do we know these works? In the place of prayer and communion and relationship with God, as we grow, as we spend time with God, he shows us these works. He reveals these works. In recent times and over the years and months, there's so much that we've discussed and we've talked about in our services and our messages and our Bible studies. And I want to encourage us to go back to some of these things. Use the messages on the websites, on the podcast. Let's study the word. Because the thing is that if we start to put these things into practice, they would help us to be all God has called us to be. They would help us to work the works of him who sent us. They would help us. So, like Jesus, we want to go about recognizing and doing these works. But again, it's Pentecost, and I want to emphasize the place of the Holy Spirit. The place of the Holy Spirit. In that Acts 10, the message that Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household, and again, I encourage you to go and read that whole chapter again, and read the message that he was preaching when the Holy Spirit came and filled all those people. Part of that message is in Acts 10:38, part of that message. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. How are you and I going to be able to recognize and do the good works God requires of us? The power of the Holy Spirit. In that Acts 10:38 that we just read, it says Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power. And he was able to do everything that he did. He was able to do the works of him who sent him because God was with him. There's nothing you and I can do in our strength or without God. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 that they shouldn't leave Jerusalem. They should remain shut in until they had received the power of the Holy Spirit. We must stay in step with the Holy Spirit. We must stay connected with the Holy Spirit. We must get into intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit if we're going to do the works of him who sent us while it is day. Don't be against your helper. Now, not staying in step with the Holy Spirit, not yielding to him, is a foolish and a crazy thing to do. And it's being against your helper. In Hosea 13 verse 9, God speaking to Israel says, you're destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. Anyone who's against their helper would be destroyed. I pray that we'll be a people yielded to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, and I would just read two verses from Galatians 5, but again, read the whole chapter in your time. It tells us and speaks about staying in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And verse 25 of Galatians 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As you and I stay in step, connected and yielded to the Holy Spirit, he would teach us and guide us and help us to work the works of him who sent us while it is day. And I pray that that would be our realities for every single one of us in Jesus' name. And why is all this important? And what is my prayer as we conclude for yourself and for myself? My prayer is that God would help every single one of us to work the works of him who sent us while it is day. My prayer is that God would help every single one of us to be fully everything that God has called us to be, so that at the end of everything, at the end of time, like Paul, we'll be able to say, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8, and I pray that this would be our testimonies. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. May that be your testimony. May that be my testimony at the end of time in Jesus' name. I'd like us to just close our eyes and we would spend a couple of minutes in prayer. And I just want you to pray for yourself. The first prayer point that I want us to pray is I want to pray peradventure anyone is listening and has listened to this word and you haven't given your life to Jesus yet. There's never been a time when you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, come into your life and be Lord of your life. I want to encourage you to pray to your Father, to pray to God and ask him to come into your life. Secondly, for those who have prayed that prayer, it might be that you have prayed that prayer, but you know that your life isn't right. You haven't been living right. I want you to lift up your voice and pray to God and say, Father, help me. I want to live a life transformed. I want to live a life that gives you glory. Help me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Then I want us to also pray for ourselves. You know where you're at. You know how you've been spending your day. But I want you to pray for yourself and say, Father, help me not to waste my day. Help me to recognize the works that you have assigned to me. And Father, help me to do them while it is day. Help me to do them while it is day. Just lift up your voice and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Ask the Father, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to make the most of the day. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh and to help you to stay yielded and connected to him. Lift up your voice and pray for yourself. And finally, I want us to pray and say, Father, at the end of it all, help me to finish well. At the end of it all, help me to finish well. At the end of it all, let it be my reality that you would look at me and say, well done. That you would look at me and say, well done. That you would look at us and say, well done. That you would look at us and say, enter into the rest of your Lord. That you would look at us and say that indeed that you are pleased with us. That you would look at us as we go through life and you would rejoice over us with singing because we will be doing your works, because we will be doing your will, because we would be light indeed in this world. And so shall it be, because in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you.